Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
You must eat my body and drink my blood. My flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. This is a hard saying. We have for the past 5 weeks been reading through John chapter 6, this Eucharistic discourse. And Jesus has multiplied the loaves and he has this big crowd that has surrounded him. And every week we've been hearing a little bit more of this speech. These hard sayings, you must eat my body and drink my blood. That's a hard saying. The Bible is full of hard sayings. Hard sayings about things such as faith, of judgment, of charity, forgiveness, sobriety, purity, responsible behavior, divorce, and many, many other subjects. Lots of hard sayings. Today's gospel starts with these words. Many of Jesus' disciples who were listening said, "This is a hard saying. Who can accept it?" Again, the hard saying that they have just heard, that has just entered into their ears, begins like this. "Amen, amen, I say to you." And I've said this before, okay? Amen, amen. What is Jesus doing when he says amen, amen? He's basically saying, "Hey, y'all, I'm fixing to say something real important, okay?" If he was in Mississippi, that's what he would say, okay? But since he was a Hebrew in Palestine, he said, "Amen, amen," or "Verily, verily, truly, truly." He's saying, "This is true. Listen." Anytime you see those words in the Bible, make sure you focus your attention that here comes something important. So he says, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day." And their response was, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" This hard saying requires faith in the Eucharist. Earlier in this long discourse, an earlier part, a couple of weeks ago, the crowd gathered around Jesus, asked him a question. They said, "Teacher, what must we do to do the work of God?" You remember what his answer was? His answer was, "You must believe in the one he sent. You must believe in me," Jesus was saying. And believe in me includes believing in the words I have spoken. You must eat my body and drink my blood. So Jesus says, to do the work of God, you must have faith in the one he sent. You know, and we stand together at Mass and we profess our faith, right? Sometimes we say the Apostles' Creed. Tonight we're going to say the Nicene Creed. Well, there's another creed. It's called the Credo of the People of God, or the Creed of the People of God. And it was written by Pope Paul VI about 50 years ago. And it's a summary of our faith. We don't want to say this one at Mass. It's about 10 pages long, okay? Maybe not quite that long. But it goes through our faith in just enough detail to kind of fill in some of the things. And this doctrinal statement calls us to believe in some things about the Eucharist. And I'm going to read a part of it to you, paraphrase a bit of it. And it says, "We believe that the Mass celebrated by the priest representing the person of Christ by the gift of the ordination, by holy orders, is the sacrifice of Calvary." Remember when Jesus gave his life on the cross for our sins? We make that present here in the Mass. We believe that. We believe that the bread and the wine consecrated by Jesus at the Last Supper were changed into his body and blood, and that body and blood was offered on the cross for the salvation of the world. We believe that. Likewise, we believe that the bread and wine consecrated by the priest at Mass are changed into the body and blood of Jesus Christ, who is now enthroned gloriously in heaven. We believe that the mysterious presence of the Lord continues under the appearance to our senses of bread and wine, but it is the real, substantial presence of Christ sacramentally and spiritually. He is here. This mysterious change in the bread and wine is called transubstantiation. The bread and the wine cease to exist after the consecration, and the adorable body and blood of the Lord are set before us in the sacramental types, bread and wine. Why does this happen? This happens so that Jesus may give himself to us as food, that he may give himself to us as the bread of life, and that we may be united to his mystical body. Jesus is not multiplied or divided, but he is made present in the sacrament. And it is our sweet duty to honor and to adore him in the blessed host that our eyes see, the incarnate Word. We believe. Some of that's a hard saying, isn't it? But it's that it is our faith. The Eucharist is the source of our faith, and it is the summit of our faith because it is Jesus. The ministry of Jesus Christ and the church is the most beautiful work that there is in the world. It is more beautiful than we deserve. We don't deserve to get to participate in the Mass. We do not deserve to get to receive the body of Christ, the living bread of life. I remind you of a quote that I gave you all last week from Sister Faustina, from Saint Faustina. She said, "I know the greater and the more beautiful the work is, the more terrible will be the storms that rage against it." And so the work of the Eucharist and the celebration of the Mass and the presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist, this is what Jesus is saying when he says, "You must eat my body and drink my blood," and then we look forward to the Last Supper. There are very many hard sayings in the words of sacred scripture, and we must live by those hard sayings. We must carry our crosses, and to carry our cross with Jesus Christ is the most beautiful work a man, a woman, or a child can ever hope to accomplish. And you know why Jesus was full of hard sayings? I got a news flash for you. You know why Jesus was full of hard sayings? Because life is hard. Anybody figured that out yet? Yeah, life is hard. And if Jesus did not give us the hard sayings, then he would not be the truth. And so he calls us to embrace the realities that life is hard. And you know, when Joshua entered into the promised land with the nations of Israel, and they were all gathered around him, and he stands up and he talks about, hey, who are you going to follow? Are you going to follow the gods of this land? Are you going to follow the God Yahweh, the Creator who rescued you? He says, as for me and my house, we're going to follow the Lord. And they're all like, yeah, us too. But you know, we know how the story ends, don't we? Or you should know how the story ends. And slowly but surely, they all start to fall away. They fall away. They become incredibly divided. They fight against each other. They're overtaken by idolatry, and finally they're overtaken by foreign powers. It's hard. And so Jesus comes to rescue us. He comes to rescue us. You know, faith in the Holy Eucharist isn't the only hard saying that we had in the Bible today from the readings this evening. I saw some of you husbands out there nudge your wife during the second reading. I saw that. I was paying attention. I was looking out there to see, okay? That's right. So St. Paul tells us about this relationship. He says, and this is a part that people very often fail to hear, be subordinate to one another. That's the first line. Wives, be subordinate to your husbands as the church is to Christ. You know, respect your husbands. But you know something, husbands? You get the harder deal there. It's much more challenging to live up to what St. Paul says to the husbands. What does he say to the husbands? Love your wives as Christ loved the church. And so I remind you, men, how did Christ love the church? He loved the church by pouring out his life for her. He loved the church by sanctifying her, by making her holy, by leading her, by ultimately dying for her. So people read Ephesians chapter 5 and they get all hung up on wives, be subordinate to your husbands, and they fail to see husbands, die for your wife and lead your wife to holiness. Yet hard sayings, huh? Lots of them on every page of the sacred scripture. But let's get back to tonight's hard saying. You know what we need? We need the strength of the Holy Eucharist. Celebrating the Holy Eucharist reminds us of Jesus dying for us. The bride of Christ is the church. It reminds us of the gift of love that has been given to us. We are called tonight in the midst of life's difficulties, the hard sayings about marriage and ordination and raising children and purity and sobriety and faith and forgiveness and perseverance. In the midst of those challenges, Jesus Christ comes that we might be united to him, that he can give us the bread of life, his very body and blood. And so now we come to be gathered. You know, Jesus came to gather the lost, right? He came to gather the lost. He came to find those who were straying. And many came around him out of curiosity for one reason or another. And now we come to the tragic part of the gospel tonight. You know, the gospel tonight is a tragic story. Did you pick up on the tragedy? See, because here's Jesus who's multiplied the bread and fed the thousands. And he's walked on the water, and he's calling the people to him. And they figure out how hard it is. And they turn and they leave. That was in the gospel tonight. Did you get that? They leave him. And you can imagine now he's just standing there with the 12 apostles. And he knows one of them is going to betray him. And then he says to Peter, he says to them, are you going to leave me too? And Peter gives a beautiful answer, doesn't he? What does he say? Where would we go? Where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. You know, brothers and sisters, once you get it, once you really believe, once the gift of faith has come into your heart and you know that the Holy Eucharist is the body of Christ and the Mass is Calvary made present for us to heal and strengthen us, you know, once you get that, you can't leave. You can be brokenhearted, and God knows I am. You can feel like someone's almost chasing you away, but you can't leave because it is the bread of life. Master, to whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. The most beautiful gift of God comes with the greatest need for both faith and endurance. the most beautiful gift of God, marriage and the priesthood and the Holy Eucharist and family. So tonight we pray for faith, we pray for courage, we pray for humility. We pray that you and I can accept Christ's presence in the Holy Eucharist and participate in the beautiful prayer of the Mass, and to receive Holy Communion with a heart open to the grace and the transformation, free of serious sin, receiving the grace of sacramental confession occasionally, that we may accept Jesus right on his terms, hard sayings and all, not simply on ours. So tonight we gather here to receive the body and blood of Christ in faith, to believe, to be nourished, and to be strengthened even in the hard sayings of being a Christian.